This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا بني إسرائيل, O children of Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. Remember my favor which I have bestowed upon you. وأني فضلتكم على العالمين, and that I preferred you over the worlds. The Bani Israel, the children of Yaqub alayhi salam, the descendants of Yaqub alayhi salam, they were chosen. What were they chosen for? So that they would obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala themselves, and they would also call others to the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they would be on the straight path, and they would also invite others to the straight path. This was the mission that they were given. And because of this mission, they were made the leaders of the entire mankind. They were made the chosen people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them, He guided them, and He preferred them over the entire mankind. But as time passed by, what happened to the Bani Israel? They forgot their mission. They forgot the purpose for which they were chosen. They forgot the purpose for which they were chosen. And instead they began thinking that we are special, we are chosen. Why? Because we are the children of Yaqub. We are the children of the prophets. They thought that they were special because they belonged to a specific lineage. They belonged to a specific family. They were of a specific race. However, we know that a person is chosen not because of whose child he is, or which lineage he belongs to, or which country he is from, which tribe he is of, which race he is of. But instead, he is chosen, why? Because of his merit, because of his actions, because of what he does. And because the Bani Israel forgot their purpose, they left their mission behind, therefore they didn't really remain the chosen people. Because obviously they were chosen to fulfill a particular mission. And when they didn't do it, what did that show? They weren't really chosen anymore. So we see over here that in order to rectify this thinking in the Bani Israel, that they are chosen only because they are of a particular family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the last messenger, not from among them, but from among the Banu Ismail, from the Arabs, to show to them that a person is not special only because he belongs to you, but a person is special, why? Because of his knowledge, because of what he does. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is chosen, why? Because he has been given the message to deliver to the people. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was chosen from among the Banu Ismail, this thinking of the Bani Israel was being rectified. And over here, in the following verses, we will see the shift of this great blessing that was given to the Bani Israel. And it was shifted now from them to the rest of the world. Why? Because they did not value this blessing that was given to them. They did not give the haqq of the book that was given to them. Previously we read, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. And part of giving the haqq of the book is applying the book. Those who apply the book, who are they? أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Those are the ones who truly believe in the book. And those who disbelieve in the book, those who do not give the haqq of the book, who are they? They are those who are khasirun. They are those who suffer loss. So in the case of the Bani Israel as well, when they didn't give the haqq of the book, they suffered loss. And what was that loss? That the honor, the special favors that they enjoyed for so long were now taken away from them. And they were transferred to others. Over here, we see that for the past 10 ruku'at, we were learning about the different blessings that were given to the Bani Israel. They were being reminded of the promises that they had made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because all of that was a special invitation to the Bani Israel so that they would believe. And when they didn't believe, this favor was taken away. The blessing was shifted. And over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites them with a final invitation, warns them with a final warning. Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Yaqub, who are you? You are the children of the prophets. What suits you that you should follow the way of the prophets? Accept the truth. Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. Remember the blessing which I have bestowed upon you. اذكروا is from ذكر. And ذكر is to remember that which has been forgotten, or to mention something on a person's tongue. And over here, they're being told to do ذكر of what? Of the blessing which they were given. Which blessing is it that the Bani Israel were given? Which blessing in particular were they given? Which ni'mah were they given? The ni'mah of the deen. The ni'mah of being the chosen people. The ni'mah of hidayah. The ni'mah of kitab. And remember that the word ni'mah, as we learned earlier as well, is an ism jins. So it doesn't just apply to one blessing, but it applies to many blessings. So what are the many blessings that the Bani Israel were given? First of all, the blessing of the deen. Secondly, the blessings of dunya. They had kings like Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam. And also they enjoyed many other favors because of being the chosen people. اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. And remember that dhikr of a ni'mah is to offer gratitude for that ni'mah. So in other words, be thankful for all of these blessings that we have bestowed upon you. Be thankful. And how should you be thankful? Believe in the Qur'an that I have sent. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And that I preferred you over the worlds. Meaning also remember this favor of mine, that I preferred you over the worlds. And give thanks to me for this great preference, for this great favor. Remember, فَضَّلْتُ is from فَضْل, فَضَّلَمْ. And what is فَضْل? An extra favor that is given to someone. To give someone something more than what they deserve. فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. I chose you above the entire mankind, all of the people of the world. So we see in this ayah that the greatest blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to a person is the blessing of Iman, is the blessing of Hidayah. Musa alayhi salam was sent to the Bani Israel as a messenger. He didn't just guide them, he also saved them from their enemy. And once they were saved, they were bestowed with so many blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent so many prophets to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them. And what were they supposed to do? What are they being told to do over here? Be grateful. Remember the blessings, don't forget them, and be grateful. So what lesson do we learn from this? Each one of us has been given many blessings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What should we do? We should remember the blessings as well. Just as the Bani Israel were told to remember the blessings that they were given. What were the Bani Israel focusing on at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What was their problem? Why couldn't they accept the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because he was not from them. They forgot all of the blessings that they were given, and they focused on just one problem. They focused on just one problem. And what do we do as well? We forget all of the blessings that we have been given, and we get stuck with little issues. And we forget to be grateful for the thousands of blessings that Allah has given us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ibrahim, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That surely if you're grateful, then I will surely increase you. In what? In favor. if you are grateful for the blessings, I will increase the blessings upon you. So the Bani Israel are being told, be grateful. And in this is a message for all of us as well, be grateful. Don't look at the problems. Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you have. And so many others don't have. The Bani Israel are being reminded, look at what you've enjoyed for so long. Nobody else had it but you. Be grateful for this blessing. Also, another important thing that we see in this ayah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preferred some people over others. Some nations over others. Everybody is not the same. Some have been given more talent. Others have been given more wealth. Others have been given more knowledge. Others have been given more resources. Everybody is not the same. Some have been given more with respect to their dunya, and others have been given more with respect to their deen, with respect to their akhirah. And what should we do? What should we do? Instead of becoming jealous, we should look at what we have. Or, also we see that a person who has been given, he should be grateful for what he has been given. And a person who has not been given something, what should he do? He should be patient. And he should be grateful for the little that he has been given. But when can a person have this attitude? When a person has a positive outlook on life. When a person doesn't look at, you know, I don't have this and he has that. But he looks at the positive side. Alhamdulillah, I have this. If I don't have this, at least I've been given this. So the Bani Israel, what were they focusing on? He's a messenger from the Banu Ismail. The last messenger is from the Banu Ismail, not from us. And they were forgetting all of the other blessings that they were given. Then they are told, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا, and fear a day. Which day? لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا, when no soul will suffice for another soul at all. We have done these two very similar verses before as well, which is why I'm not going into detail of each and every word. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. Tajzi is from jaza, jim, zai, ya. And jaza is to give recompense. And when the word jaza is followed by an, what does it mean? To come in use of the other. To be enough for the other. To suffice the other. So no soul will be enough for another soul on that day. What does it mean? That no soul will come and help another on that day. And notice the word is nafsun. Any soul, any person, no matter how righteous he is, and no matter how wicked he is. Even if he is related, he will not come. He will not be able to help the other. Even a father will not be able to avail his son. We learn in Surah Luqman, ayah number 33, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqu rabbakum. O mankind, O people, fear your Lord. وَخْشَوْ يَوْمًا, and fear a day. Which day? لَا يَجْزِي وَالِدٌ عَنْ وَلَدِهِ وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ هُوَ جَازٍ عَنْ وَالِدِهِ شَيْئًا. A day when no father will avail his son. A day when no father will avail his son. Nor will a son avail his father at all. People who are so close to us today, they will be of no benefit to us on that day. Why is this being mentioned over here? Because the Bani Israel, they would say that we are the children of Allah. We are the special ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the beloved ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, they would say, لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. Fire will not touch us except for just a few days, and eventually we're going to go to paradise. Their misconceptions are being removed over here. Yes, you are the children of the righteous ones. You are the children of the prophets. Your father was Yaqub, who was a grandson of Ibrahim a.s. But even if you are the child of the most righteous person on the surface of the earth, if you yourself don't do anything, your father will not help you on that day. Your ancestors cannot help you on that day. Your teacher cannot help you on that day. What is going to help you on that day? What is going to help you on that day? What you have done. Your actions. Actions that will gain the pleasure of Allah. And the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is what takes a person to Jannah. And when can a person really get that pleasure? By doing something. So over here, the Bani Israel are being told, لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا. Don't depend on others for your success. Do something yourself. You are accountable for yourself, and you will get what you deserve. And this is a message for each and every one of us. Many of us, we rely on our Muslim family. We rely on the particular lineage that we are of. That we are of the Sayyid family. We are of this family. We are of that family. It's not going to help. لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا. What is going to help on that day? What you've done yourself. Be responsible for your own actions. Also, وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ. No adl will be taken from a person. Adl is from the root letters عَيْنْ دَالَمْ. And adl is that which is equivalent to another. Which is why the word adl is also used for justice. Because everybody is given equal, everybody is given what they deserve. And the word adl is also used for compensation. Why? Because a compensation is given in order to free someone. Both sides become equal. A compensation is given in order to ransom someone. So it is something that is equivalent to the person. For example, even in the dunya, when a fine is paid or when a bail is given, right? How much is that? It is determined according to the level of the person. Right? So similarly, the word adl is used for a ransom. So لَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ. No ransom will be accepted from a person on that day. Which ransom? A ransom that a person could give in order to free himself from the punishment. So much so that even if a person gives the entire earth to free himself, he will not be freed. Even if he gives the entire earth's fill of gold, he will not be released. We learn in Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 91, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبًا وَلَوْ افْتَدَى بِهِ. Indeed, those who disbelieve and die while they are disbelievers, never would the whole capacity of the earth in gold be accepted from one of them, if he would seek to ransom himself with it. In this dunya, if a person gets caught, we say, okay, tell us what you want, we'll give it, just free my child, free my son, free my uncle, we'll give whatever you ask, just free this person. But on the day of judgment, when a person is held accountable for his sins, and when he is destined to hellfire, no matter what he gives, even if it's the entire earth's fill of gold, he is not going to be freed. Also, Allah warns us, وَلَا تَنْفَعُهَا شَفَاعَةً. Nor any intercession will benefit a person on that day. Shafa'ah is from the root letters Sheen Fa'ain. And Shaf is used for even, opposite of odd. And Shafa'ah is when one person joins another. The person was alone, odd. Another joined him, became even. And why does he join him? So as to advocate for him, to intercede for him, to plead his request in front of another, either to get some benefit or to remove some harm. وَلَا تَنْفَعُهَا شَفَاعَةً. So what do we learn from this part of the ayah? That if a person dies while Allah is angry with him, his wealth is not going to help him, no person is going to help him, and no intercession will either be accepted from him. Now remember that this part of the ayah does not mean that there is no intercession on the Day of Judgment. No, there is intercession on the Day of Judgment, but only for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves. Remember that there are two types of intercession. The first intercession is Shafa'a Kubra, Shafa'a Uthma, the major Shafa'a. Which is that? The Prophet ﷺ will intercede on the Day of Judgment and request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to begin the Hisab on the Day of Judgment. And there is a very long hadith which is mentioned in Al-Bukhari and many other books as well, which is about how the people on the Day of Judgment, they'll be waiting for the Hisab to begin, for the accounting to begin, and the sun will be so close and they will be sweating because of the heat and the fear of what's going to happen. The agony is going to become completely intolerable. So the people are going to go to Adam alayhi salam and they're going to request him to request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to begin the accounting. And Adam alayhi salam is going to say, no, I cannot, nafsi, nafsi. And like this they will go to each and every messenger, from Nuh alayhi salam to Ibrahim alayhi salam to Musa alayhi salam to Isa alayhi salam, until eventually they will come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when they will come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they will say that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you are Allah's messenger and the last of the prophets, and Allah forgave your early and late sins. Please intercede for us with your Lord. Don't you see in what state we are? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said that, then I will go beneath Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne and fall in prostration before my Lord. And then Allah will guide me to such praises and glorification to Him as He has never guided anybody else before me. Then it will be said to me, O Muhammad, raise your head, ask, and it will be granted. Intercede, and your intercession will be accepted. So we see that this part of the ayah doesn't mean that there will be no intercession on that day. But it's giving us another meaning, because there is intercession on that day. Which intercession? The first is the shafa'ah, that is kubra, which is when the Prophet ﷺ will intercede for the Day of Judgment to begin. And the second type of shafa'ah is when the Prophet ﷺ, the angels, the Qur'an, the righteous, they will intercede for some people. What intercession is that? That these people be sent to Jannah, or that they not be sent to hellfire. And for this type of intercession, there are two conditions. There are two conditions. What are those two conditions? That Allah must allow the intercessor to intercede. Allah must give the person permission to intercede. What do we learn in Ayatul Kursi? مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is it that can intercede with him except by his permission? So when people claim today that, you know, that scholar of ours or that particular religious saint of ours, he is going to intercede for us and that's how we're going to go to Jannah, how do you know if that person is even going to be allowed to intercede? Don't just depend on shafa'ah. So the first condition is that Allah must allow the person to intercede. And the second condition is that Allah must also be pleased with the person on whose behalf the intercession is being made, is being sought. For example, if someone intercedes for a disbeliever, that intercession is not going to be accepted. We learn in Surah Al-Muddathir, ayah number 48, فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. So there will not benefit them the intercession of any intercessors. Why? Because they themselves have not done anything to deserve the intercession. So Allah tells us over here, وَلَا تَنْفَعُهَا شَفَاعَةٌ. On the Day of Judgment, intercession also will not be of any use until and unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows, and He wills. So how can we just depend on shafa'ah? How can we just say that just because I'm of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no matter what I do, on the Day of Judgment, intercession will be made and I'll go to Jannah? How do you know it's going to work for you? You don't know. وَلَا تَنْفَعُهَا شَفَاعَةٌ وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. And nor will they be helped. Meaning, nor will the people be helped against the punishment of Allah, against the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one will be able to come and save a person, take a person out of the punishment once it has been decreed for them. So what do we learn from this ayah? That we should all fear and prepare for the Day of Judgment. We should all fear the Day of Judgment, and we should actively, consciously prepare for the Day of Judgment, because it's not an ordinary day. And we cannot say that, oh, this might help, or this might help, or that might help. I belong to this family, that person I know, they might help, Shafa'a might help, or I have a lot of wealth and I can offer that on the Day of Judgment. No, this is not going to come in use. We have to prepare for the Day of Judgment. Also, we learn that we should make an effort ourselves, and we should stop relying on others. We should make an effort ourselves, and we should stop relying on others. We shouldn't stop doing good deeds thinking that others will come and help us. No, do something yourself. Now, after this reminder, the final reminder to the Bani Israel, Ibrahim alayhis salam is mentioned in the following verses. That look at how he became a leader. Not because he was from a particular family, but because of what he did. And what did he do? He obeyed Allah and he spread the message to others as well. He invited others to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And this is what truly makes a person a leader. The Bani Israel thought, we're of the children of Israel, we're chosen, no matter what we do, doesn't matter. This thinking was incorrect. And because of this thinking, they didn't fulfill their mission. And because of that, the prestige, the honor that they were given was taken away. And now the example of Ibrahim a.s. is being mentioned. This is how a person truly becomes someone who is chosen. How? When he accepts the message himself, and he also gives it to others. Let's listen to the recitation of these two verses.
Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين واتقوا يوما لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا ولا يقبل منها عدل ولا تنفعها شفاعة ولا هم ينصرون.
The second shafa is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the angels, the Quran, the righteous, they will be allowed to intercede for the people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. And mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Ibrahim alayhi salam was tried by his Lord with commands. فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ And he fulfilled them. وَإِذْ إِذْ gives the meaning of اُذْكُرُ. So O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اذكروا this. Remember this. Mention this as well. So far, a lot has been reminded, a lot has been mentioned of the Bani Israel. Now, the Prophet ﷺ was told, mention this to the people as well. What? That when ibtala Ibrahim Rabbuhu, when the Lord of Ibrahim ﷺ tested him. Notice over here, ibtala Ibrahim Rabbuhu. Ibrahima Rabbuhu. Remember that in the Arabic language, you determine who is doing the action and who the action is being done upon. So in other words, the subject and the object of a sentence. How? By the haraka on the last letter. By the haraka on the last letter. Who is the subject? For example, you say, I ate an apple. So who is the subject? Who is doing the action? I. What's the object? Apple. So in the English language, the way the sentences are structured, I ate an apple. By the placement of the subject and the object, you can figure out who is doing the action and who the action is being done upon. Isn't it? But in the Arabic language, no additional words are put. How you figure out who is doing the action and who the action is being done upon is by the haraka on the last letter. So for example, over here you see ibtala is the verb, isn't it? He tested. It's the action that is being done. Who is doing the action and who is the action being done upon? Is it Ibrahim a.s. who is doing the action or is he the object? If you see Rabbuhu, Rabbu, it ends with a Dhamma, right? And if a noun ends with a Dhamma, that means that that noun is doing the action. Okay? That means that that noun is the subject. It is doing the action. I'm telling you this because a person might think, Ibtala Ibrahim, Ibrahim is coming first, so how come he did not test? No. Ibrahim is the object over here. Okay? And if you notice, Ibrahim ends with a fatha. When a word ends with a fatha, that means it is an object. It is the one on whom the action is being done. So how will you translate this? Ibtala Ibrahima Rabbuhu. When the Lord of Ibrahim alayhi salam tested him. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested who? Tested Ibrahim alayhi salam. Not Ibrahim tested his Lord. No. That is completely incorrect. Okay? So وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ, when his Lord tested. Tested who? Tested Ibrahim alayhi salam. The word ibtala is from the root letters ba lam ya or ba lam well. Bala yablu. Which means to test, to try. But what kind of a test is this? The word fitna is also used for a test. It is said that bala is used for a trial in which there is hardship. In which there is hardship. In which there is severity, there is intensity. Meaning it is a very intense test. It is a very difficult test. And by difficulty, it doesn't mean that a person is suffering from poverty or suffering from pain or suffering from a sickness. It could be something good as well that a person is experiencing. But it is a test that is very difficult. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَبَلَوْنَاهُمْ بِالْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ. And we tested them through good and also through evil. Because when a person is enjoying a lot of good, even then he is being tested. And it becomes a more difficult test. Because it's a test of gratitude. It's a test of obedience. Does a person really continue to obey or not? Okay? So bala is what kind of a test? It is a test that is very difficult. It is a test that is very intense. And ibtala, the word that you see over here. Bala is just a test that is very difficult. And ibtila is to test someone through a difficulty, through a very difficult test. Why? In order to know their true worth. Or in order to reveal, in order to expose their true worth. What kind of a test is it? It is a test through which the true worth of a person is known. And the true worth of a person is revealed. It is exposed. It is made known to the people. The people know, okay, this is the kind of a person he is. So when Ibrahim a.s. was tested through several commands, what did that reveal? What did that show? That he was truly an abd of Allah. That he was truly sincere to Allah. That he was truly someone who deserved leadership. He was truly someone who deserved leadership. So وَإِذِ بَتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ. Notice over here Allah says رَبُّهُ, his Lord tested him. His Lord. Not just Rabb. Not just Rabbul Alameen. Remember Rububiyah is of two types? Rububiyah that is Am, that Allah is the Rabb of everyone. He takes care of them, He provides them, He nourishes them, He plans for them. And then there's Rububiyah that is Khas. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nourishes some, nurtures some in a special way. How? Through Iman. How? Through faith. Through Hidayah. And sometimes, through tests. Sometimes, through difficult situations as well. Because if you look at it, Ibrahim alayhi salam is being tested. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is including that in his rububiyyah, that is khasa. Because it is a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's planning and nurturing us that he makes us go through tests. He makes us go through difficult situations. Why? Because the more tests we go through, the stronger we become. The more tests we go through, the stronger we become. The more determined we become. The more we know ourselves. And if we're not tested, what happens? We don't really put much effort. Isn't it so? For example, you've been tested once with half a juz, and now inshallah very soon you'll be tested with the second half of the juz. Why? Why are people tested? So that it is known where they stand. How much really have they studied? And with the fear of the test, what do we do? What do? We study. We make sure we've attended all of the lessons. We make sure that we've memorized all of the lessons as well, that we haven't missed out anything. Right? So tests are there not to harm us, not to make life difficult for us, but they are there, why? To improve us, to make us grow. And it's a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's planning. So وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ. Ibrahim alayhi salam has been mentioned about 25 times in the Quran. And this is the first time where he is mentioned. Who was Ibrahim alayhi salam? Ibrahim alayhi salam was a prophet who was sent after the time of Nuh alayhi salam. Not before, but after Nuh alayhi salam. And he was from the city of Ur in Iraq. He was from the city of Ur in Iraq around 2000 BC. When? Around 2000 BC. And he was chosen as a prophet, and his people, they disbelieved in him. His father, his entire family, his entire people, they disbelieved in him. And he was exiled from his city. The people tried to kill him, they tried to throw him into the fire. It didn't work, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, he left. He couldn't live over there. Remember, exiling someone is done, you know, either that you leave or that life is made so difficult that a person is not able to live and he has to leave eventually. So he left his country, Iraq, and he went where? To Mecca and also to Palestine. Why? In order to establish the deen of Allah over there. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was the father of Ismail alayhi salam and Ishaq alayhi salam. And remember that from the children of Ishaq alayhi salam was who? His son was who? Yaqub alayhi salam, who was the father of the Bani Israel. And Ibrahim alayhi salam's other son was Ismail alayhi salam, from whose descendants came Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. So in other words, Ibrahim alayhi salam was the father of the prophets. He was who? The father of the prophets. And we know that Ibrahim alayhi salam did a lot of work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He went through a lot of hardships to spread the message of Allah, to establish the deen of Allah. And he was made the leader of what? Of all people. Why? To spread the message. And how did this happen? He didn't just get leadership just like that. He attained it through many, many tests that he underwent. The Bani Israel also, they were tested. How? Through blessings. Remember? They were tested how? Through blessings. What were they supposed to do? Become more obedient. Be grateful. What did they do? They failed the test. Ibrahim alayhi salam was also tested. How? Through difficulties. And what did he do? He passed the test. On one side is an entire nation, Bani Israel. On the other side, you have one man. Who won? Who won? One man. One person. Why? Just because he was chosen? No. Because of what he did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him. How did Allah test him? بِكَلِمَاتٍ with some words. Kalimat is the plural of the word kalima. And kalima is from the root letters kaf, lam, mim. The word kalima is used for a meaningful statement. What is a kalima? A meaningful statement. And remember, over here what you see kalimat, whose kalimat are these? Kalimat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kalimat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are of two types. First of all, kalimat that are kawni. Kalimat that are kawni. So for example, it includes decisions of Allah, decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides for certain people, for certain times, for certain nations. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides at a particular time in this particular place there should be rain for this much time. This person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that he is to live these many years, or in his life he is going to have these many children, or he is going to see this, this, this in his life. This is what? Kalimat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the statements, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are what? That are kawni. The second type of kalimat are kalimat that are shar'i. What are they? The ahkam, the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, which are a part of the deen, which a person has to do. They are part of the deen. So over here we see that Ibrahim alayhi salam was tested through kalimat. Which kalimat was he tested through? Kauni and shar'i. Ibrahim alayhi salam was tested through both. It is said that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was tested through kalimat, and these kalimat refer to everything that Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded with, and everything that was decreed for him. Everything that he was commanded with, and everything that was decreed for him. So for example, if we take the kalimat over here to be kauni, what does it mean by that? What does it mean by that? How was he tested? His own father became his bitter enemy. His own father, his own family, his own nation, what did they do? They threw him in the fire in order to kill him. This was what? A decree of Allah. Was it not difficult for Ibrahim alayhi salam? Of course it was. So kalimat are kawni. Secondly, kalimat shari, what are the examples of those? Such as Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he had to leave his wife and son in the middle of the desert, and he had to obey Allah. Similarly, he was commanded when his son grew older that he had to go and slaughter his son. Obviously his son, as we know, he was replaced by a ram. He didn't actually slaughter the son, but he was commanded to do so. So this is what? A command that was shari'i. It was part of the commands that Ibrahim alayhi salam was given. Similarly, Ibrahim alayhi salam was given certain other commands, which are known as the acts of fitrah, that Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded to observe. For example, doing the miswak. It was a shari'i command that was given to him. He had to do miswak. Similarly, clipping the nails. That was also a command in the sharia that Ibrahim alayhi salam was given. Similarly, removing excessive hair from the body. Similarly, many other things that he was told. So, acts of fitrah that Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded to follow. He was commanded to observe. So, kalimat refers to which kalimat? Kauni and shari. Everything that was decreed for him and everything that he was commanded with. Scholars have said that there were at least 33 commands, at least 33 commands that were given to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he was tested through them. Now you might think, cutting nails, is that really a test? It is for some. It is for some, it really is. Similarly, cleaning the teeth, is it really a test? It is for some people. It truly is a test for some people. Using the miswak is a test for some people. So he was tested through various instructions, various commands, various decrees in his life. What did Ibrahim alayhi salam do? فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ Then he fulfilled them. He completed all of them. He went through all of them. The word atamma is from the root letters ta, mim, mim, from the word tamam. What does tamam mean? When something is complete, when something is made to reach the end, when something is fully accomplished, fully done, it is made to reach the end. Atamma yutimmu is to complete something in such a way that no flaw remains. Absolutely no flaw remains. You complete something fully. You do something completely and fully. It is done with complete precision. Nothing remains undone. For example, if you're cleaning your house, if you're cleaning the kitchen, one is to just, you know, put the dishes in the dishwasher and leave the rest in the sink, or leave the food out on the table. Okay? But what is it to completely clean the kitchen? What does it mean by that? That you do all of the dishes, you put all the food away, you clean the countertop, you clean the floor, everything is spotless. This is what tamam is, itmam is. So it is to completely and fully execute something, such that nothing at all is left out. Nothing. So atammahunna, he completed them. What does them refer to? Kalimat. Meaning he carried out all of the commands that he was given to the exact requirements. He performed all of them, despite the fact that they were difficult for him. He was told to slaughter his own son. What did he do? He went ahead with it. He went ahead with it. He wasn't reluctant. He didn't stay behind from anything that he was commanded. Atammahunna. So he did everything without any hesitation. He did everything flawlessly, 100%. Atammahunna. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him. Now we have to think about the commands that we are given as well. What are we doing? يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ Or just getting by? Atammahunna. Now, in this surah so far, we have seen many tests have been mentioned. For example, Adam alayhi salam was also tested. With what? With the fruit of the tree of Jannah. But he failed the test. Similarly, the test of Bani Israel has also been mentioned. What did they do? They also failed the test. And now the test of Ibrahim alayhi salam is being mentioned. What did he do? Atammahunna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, he passed the test. He passed the test. How? By completely carrying out everything that he was commanded to do. By being steadfast through all the difficulties, all the hardships that he suffered. Atammahunna. So as a result, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him. Where? In the dunya also. Qala, he said. Who said? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inni ja'iluka, indeed I am one who makes you. Ja'ilu, we have done this word before as well, it is from the root letters, Jim, Ayn, Lam. So indeed I am going to make you, linnasi, for the people, imama, a leader. Allah told Ibrahim alayhi salam, I am going to make you a leader for who? Linnas, for the entire mankind. And I'm going to make you an imam. The word imam is from the root letters Hamza, Mim, Mim. Hamza, Mim, Mim. The word Am, Ammun, not Am meaning or. But this is Hamza, Mim with a Shadda on the Mim. Ammun, Amma ya Ummu. Means to intend, to aim for something. What does it mean? To intend or to aim for something. From the same root is the word Who is an Mother. Why? Because the child is always what? Looking for the mother. Intending for the mother. Right? Looking for the attention of the mother. So, imam is one who is followed. Who is an imam? One who is followed. And mother, the child follows the mother. Similarly, imam is someone who is followed, someone who is looked up to, someone who is consulted, someone who is referred to. A person intends to follow him. This is an imam. Just as in salah, who is the imam? The people behind him, they follow him. Isn't it? So the word imam is used for anyone who is followed. It could be a person, it could be a book, it could be a road, it could be anything that is followed. And also remember that linguistically the word imam is used for anyone who is followed, either in good or in bad. Linguistically, the word imam can be used for someone who leads others as a bad example as well, linguistically. But over here, obviously, imam, he was made an imam of who? Of the people with regards to khayr, with regards to deen. So, inni ja'iluka linnasi imama. I am going to make you a leader for all people. And we see this as a reality today as well. All of the major religions, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, what are they called? What are they called? The Abrahamic faiths, aren't they? Who is their leader? Ibrahim alayhi salam. So he was made an imam of all people. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was told to follow who? Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is actually the imam of the imam, as we know that when he went for the Isra and the Mi'raj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam led all of the prophets in prayer. He was the imam of the imma. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told to follow Ibrahim alayhi salam as well. We learn in Surah An-Nahl, ayah 123, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Then we reveal to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to follow the religion of Ibrahim, inclining toward truth, and he was not of those who associate with Allah. So even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told to follow who? Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was made the leader of all mankind, of all people. This was the gift that he was given. Why? When he obeyed Allah. When he did what he was commanded to do. Surah An-Nahl 123. And we learned that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was extremely soft-hearted. When he was given something, he didn't just want it for himself only. He wanted it for others as well. Which is why when he was given this good news that he was going to be made the imam of all people, what did he say? Qala, he said, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي, and also from my children. Meaning, and also make my children the imam for all mankind. Look at the compassion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Look at the love of Ibrahim alayhi salam that he had for his children. Also make my children the imam. You know, someone who really loves their children, this is what they do. Any benefit that they get, anything that they get, who do they think of? Their children. Even if they're having something like a good dessert or something good to eat, what do they think of? Their children. If only I could get this to my daughter. If only I could get this to my son somehow. Ibrahim alayhi salam was also very compassionate, especially towards his children. The word ذُرِّيَّتِ is a combination of ذُرِّيَّ and يَا at the end, indicating me. So ذُرِّيَّتِ, my children. ذُرِّيَّ is from the root letters ذَال رَا هَمْزَ. ذَال رَا هَمْزَ. ذَرْءٌ. ذَرْءٌ literally means to create. What does it mean? To create. So ذُرِّيَّ are children who are given birth to. Children who are given birth to. Meaning create or give birth to. So ذُرِّيَّ, those who are given birth to. Those who come in existence because of you. Secondly, it is said that the word ذُرِّيَّ is from the root letters ذَال رَا رَا, from the word ذَرَّة. What is a ذَرَّة? A particle. A small particle. Small particles, what happens to them? they scatter, they spread. And children also, what happens to them? They spread. Children who have grown up in the same house eventually end up in different countries, in different continents. Right? So people, children, they spread. Now the word dhurriya is translated as children, but it doesn't just apply to one's immediate children. Instead, it applies to one's progeny, one's descendants. Because the descendants of a person, what happens to them? They are born of him, and they increase, they multiply, and as they increase and multiply, they spread. So he said, from my dhurriya as well. Notice, dhurriya is not my immediate children. What is he looking at? His descendants. Look how far-sighted he is. He's not just looking at his children, but he's looking at his entire descendants. Qala, he said. Who said? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا ينال عهد الظالمين. My ahd, my promise, will not attain those people who do wrong. The word yanalu is from the root letters nun, ya, lam, nail. It is from the root letters nun, ya, lam, from the word nail. And nail means to attain, to reach what a person desires, to get what a person desires, to reach the goal, to reach the motive. From the same root is the word na'il. Na'il is one who reaches, one who attains his goal. And na'ilah, the feminine of na'il, which we say na'ila, the name na'ilah. What does it mean? One who reaches her goals, one who attains her goals. So la yanalu, it is not going to reach, it is not going to attain. What is not going to attain? Ahdi, my ahd, my promise. Which promise of mine? Of leadership. This promise of mine is not going to include who? Al-Zalimeen, those who do zulm. This was the response that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So in other words, what is being said? That those people who do shirk, those people who do zulm, even if they are from your children, there is nothing for them. There is no leadership for them. Leadership is for the one who fulfills the responsibilities of being a leader. Not just because he is the child of someone. Not just because he belongs to a particular family. So through this, the misconception that the Bani Israel had, that we are the chosen people because we are the offspring, we are the children of the prophets, we are the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that is being removed. Because Allah said, لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. So what lessons do we learn from this ayah? That first of all, udhkur, that remember Ibrahim alayhi salam as well. So first of all, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam to remember the tests that Ibrahim alayhi salam went through. To recall this particular chapter in history as well. Why? Because there are many lessons to learn from Ibrahim alayhi salam as well. So what should we do? We should also mention and talk about Ibrahim alayhi salam. To who? With who? With our families, with our children, with our friends. Why? Because there is a great lesson for all of us in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Also, we learn from this ayah that Ibrahim alayhi salam was someone who was very much loved by Allah. Why? Because he fulfilled all of the kalimat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. Because he fulfilled the kalimat, therefore, he was made the leader. He was made the Khalil of Allah. He was made the friend of Allah. Why? Because he fulfilled the kalimat. And remember that when it comes to fulfilling the kalimat, kalimat shar'i, okay, carrying out the commands, but kalimat kauni, being happy and being content with the decree of Allah. That is also very important. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was beloved to Allah. Why? Because he fulfilled the kalimat. Also, we learn over here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests people. He even tests those who are beloved to him. He doesn't just test those whom he does not like or those who are supposed to suffer punishment, but he also tests those who are righteous. Why? Because there is great wisdom behind testing people. And what is that wisdom? Why is a person put into a test? To find the true worth, to show where exactly we stand. Also sometimes, tests are a means of improving us. Tests, they reveal our capabilities, our capacities, how much truly we can handle. Sometimes when you're made to go through something like a very difficult thing in your life, you wonder, it's not possible for you to do it. It's not possible for you to handle it. But لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not overburden a soul more than what it can bear. So what do these tests show? Don't underestimate myself. Don't underestimate yourself. You can do more. For example, one of the kalimat kawni is what? To fast in the month of Ramadan. Isn't it? When this Ramadan was coming, what were people thinking? It's in the summer. It's going to be so difficult. Isn't it? But it's a test that we're all going through. And what has this shown to us? That we are capable of fasting even in summer. Right? Generally in summer, what do we think? Oh my God, I can't even think of fasting. No way. But what has this shown to us? That we can fast in the summer as well. Right? So tests, they show us what our capabilities are. How much really we can do. How much really can we handle. It shows us our capacities. Many times we underestimate ourselves. And because we underestimate ourselves, we deprive ourselves of doing what we can do. And when we're made to go through these difficult situations, then we're shown that really we can do more. So we should try to do more. Also, tests, they show the sincerity, the truthfulness of a person. How much really does he believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How positive is he about the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How patient is he over the decisions of Allah? And also, tests are a means of purifying us. When gold is heated, when it is put into the fire, what happens? The impurities are removed. It is cleansed. To clean anything, rigorous effort is required. So we are made to go through tests. Why? For our own benefit. There is a hadith that is mentioned in At-Tirmidhi, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا يَزَالُ الْبَلَاءُ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ وَالْمُؤْمِنَةِ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَمَالِهِ حَتَّى يَلْقَ اللَّهَ وَمَا عَلَيْهِ خَطِيئَةٌ. Trials will continue to befall the believing man and the believing woman with regard to themselves, with regards to their physical bodies, with regards to their children and their wealth, until they meet Allah with no sin on them. Also, we are tested, why? As an expiation for our sins, as forgiveness for our sins. We are made to go through difficulties, why? So that our sins are forgiven. Also, we learn from another hadith that is mentioned in At-Tirmidhi as well. إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدِهِ الْخَيْرَ عَجَّلَ لَهُ الْعُقُوبَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدِهِ الشَّرَّ أَمْسَكَ عَنْهُ بِذَنْبِهِ حَتَّى يُوَافِيَ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. When Allah intends good for His slave, He punishes him in this world. When Allah intends good for His slave, what does He do? He punishes him in this world. But when He intends evil for His slave, He does not hasten to take him to task, but calls him to account on the day of resurrection. So we see that tests, difficulties in life, they are a means of purifying us. Because then we see our faults. Now this doesn't mean that a person should desire tests, he should pray for tests, he should pray for difficulties. No, it doesn't mean that. But if a person goes through difficulties, what should he do? What should he do? He should be patient. He should have sabr. There is a hadith that is also mentioned in At-Tirmidhi that the greatest reward comes with the greatest trial. Greatest reward comes with the greatest trial. When Allah loves a people, He tests them. Why? So that they have an opportunity to do sabr. They have an opportunity to do shukr for what they still have. And when they do sabr, what's going to happen? they're going to increase in their reward. The hadith continues that whoever accepts that, whoever accepts what? The difficulty that Allah sends to a person, wins his pleasure. Whose pleasure? The pleasure of Allah. So what does it show? That when a difficulty comes our way, the first thing is to accept that difficulty. To say, okay, Ya Allah, this is your decision for me, I accept it. And the person who accepts it, he wins the pleasure of Allah. But whosoever is discontent with the decision of Allah, earns his wrath, earns the anger of Allah. So what are we supposed to do? Accept the difficulties that come our way. Because when we accept, then we win the pleasure of Allah. When we don't accept, then we earn the anger of Allah. Kalimat kauni are what? The decrees of Allah, the decisions of Allah with regards to our lives. So when we go through difficulties, we should be patient. Also, there is another hadith that is mentioned also in Tirmidhi, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُصِبْ مِنْهُ. When Allah loves a people, He puts them to trial. He puts them to difficulty. Ibrahim ﷺ was beloved to Allah. Allah still tested him. Allah still tested him. Because whosoever Allah loves, He puts him in difficulty. So when we're going through some difficulties, don't think that Allah hates you. No. We should look at, maybe I have done something wrong, because sometimes tests are there to wake us up as well. But we should also be positive. This is the decision of Allah. I have to accept it. And Allah makes things easier. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make Ibrahim alayhi salam a leader. That is why He tested him. So when something is intended for a person, he is made to go through difficulties. Musa alayhi salam went through so many difficulties in his life before becoming a prophet. He was in Egypt. He killed a man accidentally. And he left Egypt in a hurry. He went through the desert with nothing. He ended up in a place and he lived over there working for a family for 10 years. And then he was a shepherd for so long. And then when he went back, when he was made a prophet, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. Now I have chosen you for my work, because now you are ready for my work. If we don't go through difficulties, if we don't go through trials, we cannot be ready for the work that Allah is giving us. If Ibrahim a.s. didn't go through all these difficulties, he wouldn't be able to become a leader. So difficulties are a part of life. They will come. And they come, why? To prepare us for that which is more important. And we should also remember that with the difficulty, there is also ease. Sometimes we don't see the ease. It comes later on. But it does come. Inna ma'al usri yusra. With difficulty, there is ease. Also, we learn from this ayah another very important lesson, that leadership is not something that is inherited. Leadership is not something that is inherited, but it is earned through one's hard work. It is earned through one's hard work. Why? لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. He said, وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. What did Allah say? لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. My promise is not for those who do zulm. Another very important lesson that we learn is that a zalim person, a person who does zulm, does not deserve to be a leader. A person who does zulm does not deserve to be a leader. Scholars have said in the past that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows a government of kufr to rule, but He does not allow a government of zulm, of oppression, to rule. Allah will allow disbelievers to rule. But if someone is oppressive, even if he claims to be a believer, Allah will not allow those people to rule. Allah will not give victory to them. Allah will take away leadership from them. Because one who does zulm does not deserve to be a leader. لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. My promise does not include those people who do zulm. Many times, when we get any position of leadership, whether it is being a leader of the house, of children, of a small class, what do? We think we can do whatever we want. No, we cannot do whatever we want. We are still under the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And when a person does zulm, that leadership is taken away from him. لا ينال أحد الظالمين. Let's listen to the recitation.
وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ
وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ. And mention when we made the house a place of return for the people. وَأَمْنَا, and also a place of security. وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا, meaning أُذْكُرْ, O Prophet ﷺ, to the people, this fact as well. What? That when we made the house, al-bayt. Al-bayt is from the root letters ba-ya-ta. And the word bayt is used for house. Bata yabitu literally means to spend the night. What does it mean? To spend the night doing something or being engaged in something. And bayt is a place where a person spends the night. And what is that? A house. The word al-bayt over here, notice it is al-bayt, it is the house. So it is the specific house. Which specific house is this? It is the Kaaba, which is called Baytullah as well. Why is it called Baytullah? Why is it called House of Allah? Because by saying House of Allah, the house is being honored. It is not an ordinary place. It is not an ordinary building. It is a special place. It is a special building. You go to someone's house, why? In order to meet them. You go to the Kaaba, why? In order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You face the Kaaba in every prayer, why? In order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ, and when we made the house, meaning the Baytullah, the Kaaba. We made it what? We made it مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ, a place of return for the people. The word مَثَابَة is from the root letters ثَا وَاوْ بَا. Any other word from the same root? Thawab. What does that mean? Reward. And remember the word thawb, which is used for cloth as well, for garments, for clothes. Thawb literally is when something is returned to its original state. What is it? When something returns to its original state. So thawab is a return. It's a return. It's a recompense for the action that a person has done. And the thawab is always according to the deed that a person has done. And thawb, clothes also, what do? We wear them, we put them on, we put them back into the closet, we put them on again, we put them back, we put them on again. So they keep returning to their original place, which is our bodies, on us. Mathaba, it begins with the letter meem. What does that indicate? It's a noun. But which noun is this? Notice it has a fatha on it, not a dhamma. Muslim, mu'min, mufsid. The meme has a dhamma on it. But this one has a fatha on it. Mathaba is the place of return. What is mathaba? Place of return. Mathaba literally is used for the stone wall that is around a well. What is it? A stone wall that is built around a well. Now people, what do? If they have to take water out of a well, what will they do? They will keep returning to that well, to that wall. Why? In order to get water out of the well. So mathaba is a place where people come again and again and again, repeatedly. Why? To fulfill some need of theirs. to quench some thirst of theirs. So the house of Allah, the Kaaba, is mathaba for the people. What does it mean by that? It is a place of return for all people. It is a place where people come again and again and again. A person goes there once and he thinks he needs to go again. He wishes to go again and again. Why? In order to quench his spiritual thirst. Going once is never enough. And remember that the house of Allah is mathaba for the people in two ways. First of all, when people return to the house of Allah physically. When the people go to the house of Allah physically. Like for example, when a person goes for Hajj, when a person goes for Umrah. And if a person is living around in the same area, he goes for every Salah. Or if he's not living in the same city even, if he's in the same country or nearby, what will he do? He will go at least for Jumu'ah Salah. Right? He will put in that extra effort to go there. So it's a place of return where people return to again and again, physically. Secondly, where people return, how? With their hearts, with their minds, with their focus. How? In every salah that we pray, what do we face? The Kaaba. What comes to our mind? The Kaaba. Our attention is towards the Qibla. So this place, this bayt, is a mathaba for the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the place where the Kaaba was built. We learn in Surah Al-Hajj, ayah number 26, وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ. And mention when we designated for Ibrahim a.s. the site of the house, as to where to build the Kaaba. Now that place, barren desert, there was no life, there was no water, nobody lived there, it was empty. It's so populated now that people go back to it again and again and again. People keep going back to it. And this was an answer to the dua of Ibrahim a.s. Ibrahim a.s. made the dua after building the Kaaba, which is mentioned in Surah Ibrahim, ayah number 37. فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. So make the hearts among the people incline toward them. Incline toward who? Those who are living around the Kaaba. So the hearts of people are inclined towards what? Towards the Baytullah. In every salah and every year when people go for Hajj, every opportunity that people have for Umrah, it's a mathaba for the people. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the house what? Wa amna, and a sanctuary, a place of safety. The word am is from the root letters Hamza, Mim, Noon. The word Iman is also from the same root. Why? Because one who has Iman has aman, has protection. So amn over here gives a meaning of secure, peaceful, protected. So when we also made the house a place of security, a safe haven, a place of safety for all people. You see, even at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, before him, the people respected the haram. There could be a person who would have killed another, and if that murderer was found in the haram, nobody would say anything to him. It is a place where people's lives, people's properties are protected. They are safe. It is a place of safety. It is a place of protection. So much so that even the plants, the trees, the rocks, even they are supposed to be secure and safe. We are not allowed to even hurt animals over there, except for just a few which have been mentioned specifically in the hadith because they are harmful to people. So the house of Allah was also made an aman, meaning a place of safety for the people. And this has been from the first day. There is an ayah in Surah Al-Ankabut, ayah number 67, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا جَعَلْنَا حَرَمًا آمِنًا وَيُتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ. Have they not seen that we made Makkah a safe sanctuary while people are being taken away all around them. Anywhere else, people are threatened. But in the haram, people are safe. It's a place where a person is safe. And also if you think about it, haram is a tension-free zone. You go there and you don't have any worries. You don't have worries about, I have to go home and cook, I have to go home and clean. No, you're there only for the purpose of ibadah, and you can really focus on your ibadah. It's a place where you don't have any worries. Also, there is a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that Makkah has been made a sanctuary by Allah and not by the people. Who has made that place aman? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the people. So it is not lawful for a person who believes in Allah and the last day to shed blood in it or to cut its trees. And if someone asks the permission to fight in Makkah because Allah's messenger was allowed to fight in it, say to him that Allah permitted his messenger and he did not allow you. And even the messenger was allowed for a short period of the day. So what do we learn from this hadith? What do we learn from this hadith? That the house of Allah, the Baytullah, the Kaaba, the Haram, is a place that is safe, that is secure, in which people's lives, people's properties, they are supposed to be protected. Nobody is supposed to be hurt over there. Why? Because Allah has made the Haram such. وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. And take the standing place of Ibrahim alayhi salam, a place for prayer. وَاتَّخِذُ. This is a command being given to who? All people, all mankind. That take مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. The word مَقَام is from the root letters قَاف وَاو مِيم. And again you see the word مَقَام begins with مِيم. So what does it mean? The place of قِيَام. The place of standing. So مَقَام is the spot, site, station. مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ, the station of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What does it mean by this? What is the station of Ibrahim? What is the spot of Ibrahim alayhi salam? This has been understood in two ways. First of all, it has been said that Maqam Ibrahim, in the specific sense, it refers to the stone that was used by Ibrahim alayhi salam to construct the Kaaba. The stone that Ibrahim alayhi salam used to help him construct the Kaaba. And this stone, it served as an elevator for him. It served as an elevator for Ibrahim alayhi salam. How? That it would ascend, it would go upwards, and it would also take Ibrahim alayhi salam down. And Maqam Ibrahim, it is still there today by the Kaaba. You can see it. So take the Maqam Ibrahim as a musalla. So first of all, Maqam Ibrahim in the specific sense refers to the founding stone that he used to build the Kaaba, and it served as an elevator, and it still has the footprints of Ibrahim alayhi salam on it today. Second, it has been said that Maqam Ibrahim, the position, the site of Ibrahim, in the general sense refers to all of those places where Ibrahim alayhi salam stood to perform worship, to do ibadah. And therefore, it applies to all of the rites of Hajj, all of the rituals of Hajj. For example, Arafah, standing at Arafah, Muzdalifah, the Rami of the Jamarat, the stoning. All of that we do, why? In the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Isn't it so? Like for example, we slaughter our animals at a particular place. We don't do it now, but others do it. But that particular place, why? Because Ibrahim alayhi salam performed that ibadah over there of slaughtering his son, which was turned to slaughtering an animal. Right? So in those footsteps, what are we supposed to do? We are also supposed to perform the same rituals. Similarly, he threw stones at the shaitan, and we're also supposed to throw stones. So Maqam Ibrahim in the general sense refers to all of those places, all of those sites where Ibrahim alayhi salam performed an act of ibadah. So over here we're being told, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Take the place of Ibrahim a.s., the standing place of Ibrahim a.s., a musalla. What is a musalla? Musalla is from sad, lam, ya or waw. Salat means prayer. Musalla is a place of performing salah. Masjid is place of sajda. Musalla is a place of salah. And musalla as well has been understood in two ways. First one, it has been said that musalla, a place for prayer, meaning prayer in the specific sense, and it refers to performing two units of two rak'ah after performing the tawaf. Right? And where do we perform them? By the maqam Ibrahim. Isn't it? The two rak'ah, which is performed with the tawaf, where? By the maqam Ibrahim. So that is what musalla refers to. And others say that musalla, this is in the general sense, and it doesn't just refer to salah, but it refers to all of those rituals that are supposed to be performed at all of these maqam Ibrahim. So for example, at Arafah you perform a particular ritual. At Mina you perform a particular ritual. At Muzdalifah you perform a particular ritual. So musalla refers to not just salah as in the two rak'ah, but any worship ritual. وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ. And we took a promise from Ibrahim and Ismail. عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ is from the root letters عَيْنْ هَا دَلْ. عَهِد. What does عَهِد mean? A promise. And when it's followed by إِلَىٰ, it means to give an important instruction to someone. What does it mean? To give an important instruction to someone with a lot of emphasis. With a lot of emphasis. So, عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. What does it mean? That we instructed with a lot of importance to who? Ibrahim alayhi salam wa Ismail alayhi salam. Who was Ismail alayhi salam? The son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why is he mentioned over here? Because he built the Kaaba with Ibrahim alayhi salam. So both of them were commanded to do what? Am tahira, that you both clean. Tahira is from the root letters tahara. Tahara means purification. So both of you clean, you purify. What should you purify? What should you clean? Bayti, my house. Why? For who? Why should we clean it? For those people who are going to come and worship. Who are those people? Lit-ta'ifin, those who do tawaf. Al-ta'ifin is a plural of the word ta'if. And ta'if is from the root letters ta-waw-fa. Tawafa. Tawafa yatufu literally means to go around. And what is tawaf? What is tawaf? You go around the Kaaba. How many times? 7 times. So ta'ifin, those who do tawaf. Wal akifin. Akifin is a plural of akif. And akif is from the root letters ayn kafa. And akif is one who does i'tikaf. What is i'tikaf? In the last 10 days of Ramadan, what do? You stay in the masjid and you only do ibadah. Akafa literally means to cling to something, to stick to something, not leave it. So what does a person do in i'tikaf? He just stays in the masjid. He doesn't leave the masjid. Warukka, and those who do rukur. Rukka is the plural of rakir. Rakir is one who does rukur, and as-sujud is the plural of sajid. Sajid is one who does sajda. So what do we learn from this part of the ayah? That Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, both of them were commanded to not just build the Kaaba, but to also clean the Kaaba. Why? Because people are coming there to worship in the house of Allah. So what do we learn from this for ourselves? That when we also go to the masjid, what should we do? Don't just expect others to clean it. No. Clean it yourself. Why? For people who are coming to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى وعهدنا إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل أن طهر بيتي للطائفين والعاكفين والركع السجود.